You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Ran into a buzzsaw this week.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL, the Week 8 preview. I'm Dan Hansis. Heroes here, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. You know what the buzzsaw is this week? It is the middle of the dang season, and there ain't no buys. Mm. 16 football games between Thursday and Monday.
Yeah, and I was acknowledging, I think you're agreeing, that like I don't track like buys obsessively until like the week is upon us. And I thought we're in this nice little comfort zone where like six teams are mm-hmm. having the little week
six,
vacation.
Six, four. Even two, it's like get one game off the butt.
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
That was a total
buzzsaw.
Buzzsaw bang job.
You know what the buzzsaw is? My locks record right now. That's your buzzsaw.
That's how you come into the show.
Oh, wow. They brought it up on the graphic if
Let's
you're watching.
Let's see. On- Greg Risengool, 6-1. Damned Hansis, 4-3. Wessling Bros, 4-3. Dark Sessler, under the 500 mark. That's like being under the Mendoza line in baseball, Mark, hitting under 200.
Got
to get that up a little bit.
I am going to shift into what's good for the show at this point.
Don't do that.
I'm going to try to win.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it with some flair.
Okay.
And also, I guess we could use this as a congratulate Greg on another title.
No.
There's too
no.
much.
I don't know why. I was just trying to think what's a buzzsaw this week. You're right.
So I don't know if we can. We have Eric behind the glass, Madison. Like, do we want to just end it right now?
Because I think we end it.
Have you mathematically clinched yet? You're that far ahead.
Well, winning, as I said before the season, winning 4 out of 5 seasons would mean the end of the entire segment because people just decide there's no drama to it.
Or Dan and Mark are having literally no fun.
Yeah, so. I think you're mistaken about the power dynamic a little bit. But at the same time, congratulations.
I also congratulate.
I'm not accepting this.
It's the only thing. What gets through Greg's armor? Like, prematurely congratulating him on picks competition.
There was the year.
Isn't it weird?
There was a year that I won this. It was like half a decade ago. We were all younger, but like.
Well, you tied for the title.
No. This was different. There was, I flat out won it.
You won it once?
It was me versus West right down to the end.
I think you might have won the first one.
Well, this is it.
Very early.
I put the trophy on Wes's desk announcing him as the winner around week 15.
Oh, nice play.
And it got into his head big time. It's not easy to do that with Wes, but that did, and I prevailed.
And really, maybe the darkest of the dark Sessler moments is when you and I had a lock-off Super Bowl Bengals-Rams, and I needed the Rams to win, and Mark needed the Bengals, and when Aaron Donald flashed around that edge and knocked that ball and forced the incompletion. Mark came back about 3 months later.
Yeah, we didn't see him the rest of the night. There's all these pictures with us with all the West Bros leaving the stadium. Where's Mark?
I left early and came back to the office and just like, it was like, cool, it's a Super Bowl, but I've got other priorities.
Okay. all right, so why would you want to take this element? The intensity and the rivalries of the picks competition, but this one's over, so we look ahead to 2024. All right, now, week 8, we gave you the island games, the primetime games we broke down as part of the QB Index episode with Nick Shook. please check that out. All right, time for the first overall pick presented by DraftKings. And I have the first overall pick, and this one is, it couldn't be easier for me. We're going to go to Santa Clara. And we're going to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that we think figured it out a little bit before their bye. Obviously, they took care of business. The offense came to life against Arizona in week 5. They kind of struggle and lean on their defense. Well, the offense struggles after a hot start against Seattle, and then they lean on their defense to close out the Seahawks just barely. So it's like, maybe they're good, maybe they're not. Then you have the Niners, who started out hot as a pistol, 5-0, killing everybody, and then they dropped two very close games that went right down to the final plays, 19-17 to the Browns, 22-17 to the Vikings. Yes, 17 points back-to-back weeks. So now they're back home after two tough road losses, and they might have a new quarterback, Mark Sessler, because Brock Purdy went into the concussion protocol. And as we've seen this season, it seems more rock solid than ever. If you go in that protocol, you're probably out for the week. So it could be Sam Darnold time.
Yeah, there's very little. I think there's been like one player in the last year that went into protocol at this period and played like that weekend. It just doesn't happen.
I think Schefter tweeted that out, and then everyone pointed out how many times that's not true. That it's actually like 20% of the time.
Well, thank you, Adam Schefter. But that's a great opening salvo by me.
But for it to be a midweek one where they didn't catch it on Monday night, which, again, this is happening a lot where they don't catch it at the time. Just saying, like, the—
Wait, 1 in 5 players that go into the protocol?
Or something like, I think it was like 20-something percent has been able to return. Like, Mo Ali Cox.
Oh, so 80%. Got it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That sounds right.
I do think, though, you know, Purdy, to me, I feel like I always want to defend him. And Dan, I think you're in the same camp of these people that just want to, like, you're just a mid-level guy. It's not because of you that you're succeeding. He's had a couple tough weeks. But isn't there this sort of sense that everyone's waiting to see Sam Darnold in this offense? Largely because, like, Kyle Shanahan was, like, you know, verbally unfurling sea poems about Sam Darnold.
Well, everyone all being the Darnold hive. And there's it's huge.
It's the hive is not going away. And there would be reasons for the hive to have dissembled. But like, the hive is around, and I think there's like a little bit of juice around the concept of like, can Shanahan do with Sam Darnold what no one else has been able to do? And I kind of find it fascinating for that reason.
Interesting, because there wasn't much of a Sam Darnold hive when I've been pounding the table for him the last 3 or 4 years.
I think not on this bike, but national media, Nate Tice, JT O'Sullivan, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky. There are so many people.
The cool kids table.
Right. Daniel Jeremiah that put so much stock into Darnold pre-draft and have stuck with him. And then he does tend to start the seasons with these teams, whether it was the Panthers a year ago when he first comes out, like first couple games of the season, Darnold has been better. And look, he doesn't need to be incredible. He just needs to be Nick Mullins as a rookie. Nick Mullins as a rookie is averaging like 8 yards per attempt. I don't think he's as good as Brock Purdy, but I also don't think this Bengals defense is nearly as good as its reputation's been this year. I was thinking hard about locking this game before it flipped from Purdy to Darnold. I just feel like my longstanding Darnold lack of belief makes it hard to lock him up in a game against Joe Burrow. But I still feel good about the 49ers. I'd even take the 3.5 points and think they're going to cover ultimately, because I think they're just a better team top to bottom.
They are banged up, though. Debo Samuel not doing well. Trent Williams not doing well. You don't have your quarterback. Like, I came away from the Vikings game kind of being like, look, the Niners are going to have a couple down weeks, but they couldn't run the ball last week. I thought they got flamed in the passing game a couple of times, and it's like the Vikings looked like the better team, and it's like the Niners, the 2-week journey that they've been on, I don't know, 3 weeks ago I'm like, just put them in the NFC championship and probably the Super Bowl. It hasn't changed my opinion entirely, but like a couple of injuries have changed that team.
What about the Cincinnati side of this? Because Greg, what did you take away? The team goes away for a week or 2 weeks, and that's actually great, because as much as we wanted to say Burrow looked much better the last couple of weeks physically, and he did, I mean, what's better than a bye week? So now he gets more time to rest that calf and get the treatment, and hopefully comes out and he's even more kind of moved away from that, hopefully. Were you concerned about the last essentially 3 quarters of that game against Seattle?
Yes. They had 5 first downs, I think, in the last 3 quarters. Their offensive line has been poor all year. Burrow's injury made them look even worse, or showed how poor they are. They haven't been able to run the ball. The defense has had some great games. Cam Taylor-Britt is coming on as a true number one type of cornerback. And I think they have all the players on both sides of the ball. So at some point they should be the team that we expected to see, but they just haven't been that team. And it's really fascinating. Burrow against this defense, who was so disappointing last week. Bosa is just not getting the production that you normally like to see, but this is normally a spot where you expect the 49ers defensive line to eat. This is a good number one overall pick. You got Romo. This is the best game of the week, the most fascinating.
Yeah, I would not want to deal with the Niners coming off two losses. And the Bengals, like, they are walking, talking about a buzzsaw.
But wouldn't you said you wouldn't want to face them coming off one loss, and then they played their worst game of the year? I'm just saying.
No, you're right, but that game was, like, ultra surprising to me.
Sessor cut off at the knee.
Sorry. Yeah, just like, I just mean this whole, like, they're going to try harder, like, and then they show up and they did even worse.
I don't know if any of that matters, but, like, the Bengals have, after this game, they have the Bills, the Texans, who are suddenly frisky. That's not an automatic win anymore. The Ravens and the Steelers. So it's like, you're kind of in this, like, need-to-show-up situation. And I do think, like, because we talked with Nick about Joe Burrow and his QB index yesterday, and, like, how do you deal with Burrow in that kind of ranking? Because what we've seen of him healthy is completely different than before. It's like actual completion percentage rose by like 20 points over the last 2 weeks. So it's like that. I just believe they can do anything if you have the healthy Burrow.
And T. Higgins, he's had the rib. Jamar Chase. It's time. It's time. No more excuses. Ball out against the Niners defense that was vulnerable last time.
Wow. Yeah, I thought you were going to lock up your boy Sam Darnold in a big spot.
Greg Ever the Showman.
Seamless.
Sam Darnold came into the league as the hero that would save my New York Jets. And what happened over the 3 years was nothing short of misery for the USC star. And I always thought that that was unfair, like Greg, very unfair. I would get into these arguments and you would look to like hit me when I was down and say, oh, he's the biggest bust in the history of the NFL. Like,
one of them
kidding me?
Yeah.
This guy was put in one of the worst situations in recent NFL history, and he flamed out as almost any young quarterback would do. And I always wondered, what if he just got into a better chance? And he went to Carolina, and that didn't exactly work out. But again, a very dysfunctional situation once more. And even when he got a chance last year in Carolina, he played pretty well. And you look at the stats, the numbers were pretty good. He moved that offense. They actually won 4 of the 6 games he started. But when he goes to San Francisco, and I said it this summer, just get him in the lineup. Give this guy a chance. He's still stunningly only 26 years old. Came to the league very young, which is another aspect of his development. Now is the time to put Sam in, because if you put Sam Darnold in, he ain't coming out. I'm locking up the Niners.
He's not going to...
Wait, wow. It was timed so well with the music. That was beautiful.
Brock Purdy's done at this point?
I like Brock Purdy.
No, I know you do.
I think the Niners are on bye next week. I might be mistaken on that.
Take a look.
Which would hurt Sam, because I have
confidence
that he's going to ball out in this game. And there are people on Twitter that support Darnold and also think that he'll be in a good spot. But I've always felt that he has a chance to do something in this league. And this is his stage. I hope he gets more than one game. But I also don't think Purdy's the problem in San Francisco.
Right.
I wish he got maybe more than one start, but it's probably going to be just one start. And I think he's going to play well.
I'm so easy that just because I met Sam Darnold at LAX before the scouting combine.
I wish we had that photo.
It's around here somewhere. I actually don't love that photo because it's like, oh, Mark is like a foot and a half shorter than the average NFL quarterback. But like, he couldn't have been a more delightful guy. And so it's like, I kind of want to root for him. I don't know. So
were you going to lock him up too?
Oh, no. Okay. I told you, what I do is for the show at this point. I've got a surprise down the turnpike.
By the way, that game is Niners favored by 3.5. The over-under is 43.5, and that is a Nance Romo-Wolfson joint. All right. Come on, Sam. Sam Richard, not Samuel. Sam Richard Daniel. Darnold. All right, let's get to it.
That was the game of the week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sports app and use code ATN. That's code ATN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Mark, you are up with the second pick.
All right, I'm going to take my late game right out of the gate here.
Let's go, Sam!
Yeah, well, he's not playing in this game.
Oh, right.
He's
okay.
playing in your game. I'm taking the Browns at Seattle. I keep...
Okay.
I'm a little mystified by that Colts game because you got... Look, at their calls at the end, like probably... And, you know, and Jim Irsay, of all people, is coming out strong saying the Colts got robbed there and that I think there's a fair argument there, no doubt about it, that happened. But Cleveland also did a lot of good things in that game, but did a lot of bad things. You got, like, pretty much terrible quarterback play. You couldn't really run the ball that well outside of Jerome Ford's, like, monster touchdown run. Miles Garrett played out of his mind. The defense also arguably had its worst game of the year and gave up monster yardage in the passing game to Gardner Minshew, of all people. So it's like you put it all together and they still scored, like, 39 points and won in the end. I guess, like, I want to be hopeful and say Cleveland, amidst all these ups and downs, is finding a way to win these games because they didn't have good quarterback play against the Niners either. And you don't have Nick Chubb, and they found a way to get that done with, like, a stellar defensive effort in bad weather. Miles Garrett right now is the centerpiece for me. And I think it's the Miles Garrett and the rest of that pass rushes matchup with Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas of the Seahawks. Miles Garrett is on pace for the greatest PFF pass rushing grade ever. And it looks like it. And he did a lot more than just rush the passer a week ago. And so I think it's like sometimes these games to me come down to somewhat simple equations of, like, if you're going to get this, if Miles Garrett's on a hot streak like this and he's supported by a good defense around him, it's going to be a challenge for Seattle. I also feel like this is the kind of game where Cleveland on the road, if, you know, you got PJ Walker in there, when do you get the really bad PJ Walker game that just sort of explodes everything from the inside out, Greg?
They're very thin, though, the Seahawks on the offensive line. Abe Lucas not expected to return this week. I think Phil Haynes, their guard, they've been down three offensive linemen all year. So that is worrisome for my guy Geno, who is putting on a show the last few weeks. Just like it's almost been a little Geno coaster within games. I would argue no one's made more high quality throws than Geno Smith in the NFL the last 2 weeks.
Yes, you would.
I honestly, I don't even think it's arguable.
This.
If you look, if you're on film Twitter, they would all agree too. Like he is throwing some outrageous passes and then making huge mistakes in the red zone too. On balance, like, he's looked a lot better once you kind of watch the film and everything. But when he's under pressure, and he will be under pressure against Cleveland, you definitely worry about him making those.
I'm not saying that he's not making great throws in these games.
I think it would be the alternative.
It's borderline. It's kind of cute. It doesn't matter.
Not the last 2 weeks, I'm just saying.
It really doesn't matter what Geno does. You will find the spin to present him in the most positive light. But that's because he's your favorite player.
No, he's
your favorite player in the league, isn't he?
He is. But yeah. I'm talking about the way his season has evolved. I'm certainly not alone on this island. He sort of had a blah, like, not bad, not good first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, and then the last few seasons he is trying throws almost no one else in the world other than Matthew Stafford's a good comp, I think, would try, and he's hitting them, but he's also making some big time mistakes. So suddenly the variance has gone way up.
The throw when we were in London and we were sleep deprived, but the in the bucket to DK Metcalf, it's like there's sure. and you mentioned this too, that, like, when we were there, it's like he's playing with a kind of confidence where it's like there's going to be mistakes, but I kind of like this version of him more than any other previous
one. I worry
one,
about it,
like,
against the Browns. He threw one in the quadruple coverage, the Fant, that he hit last week. It was just like, whoa.
Yeah, but look how Browns like had a ton of busted coverage last week. Like, made Josh Downs look like
Reggie
Wayne.
Point it, because I said this 2 weeks ago too, Greg. Like, I don't think he's not playing well. I just think... Yeah. I said that I felt like the Geno coaster was starting to ramp up. Now it's a more fun, it's a better roller coaster now.
Yeah, but
right,
right.
The highs are really high.
On QB index right,
right
now. Like, he's been a solid starter.
I mean, he's so much more fun than the Geno coaster back in the Meadowlands 6 years ago or whatever. But he is, there's almost a little bit of Farvian nature to the game too, where he's like, I can do anything. And sometimes you can't. And it's gotten him in trouble in a couple spots with a couple bad throws the last couple weeks that have come back to haunt him. But he's certainly not a problem by any stretch.
We should mention, like, the Deshaun Watson situation, where it's like he said he knew his shoulder was not right after the brief disastrous stint he had against the Colts. I kind of wonder, like, if and when we're going to see him again, because, like, apparently the shoulder injury he has,
right?
If it were a pitcher, they say you'd be out, like, easily 4 to 6 weeks. But you're not getting...
They being his agent through Adam Schefter.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm just saying that is a comp of what's going on with his shoulder.
Do it.
He's not a pitcher, though.
Put him on IR.
Pitchers aren't getting slammed to the turf, typically, in a baseball game.
Right.
If you are Cleveland, you rightfully should see yourself as a team that could be playing for the playoffs in late December and early January. And nothing happens without Watson being healthy in terms of the big picture and what everyone really wants, which is the big trophy. So, like, put him down now.
Mm. Yeah.
What are we doing? Like, clear what you're saying about the agent and the team. You could sense it, even if the big story hasn't dropped yet, that there is some issues behind the scenes in terms of communication and what his status should be. But what if he has a bad shoulder? You got to get him out of the mix and bring him back healthy.
Let's
do it.
Right. I pointed out some of the inconsistencies on Twitter today, and it wasn't that I have some like conspiracy that he doesn't want to play, because he called his own press conference essentially today to say it's ridiculous to say I wouldn't want to play. Of course I want to play. I believe that. That's not what I'm getting at. My point is that the communication between him and the coach and the front office is so off. It's pretty weird that multiple times Stefanski said he was medically cleared, and then he said after last game he's going to start this week, and then he's not starting this week. Andrew Berry was on record saying it was going to be a short-term injury. That was 4 weeks ago. That is all pretty weird.
Very strange.
And it hints at some sort of divide, some sort of confusion. And before we get out of there, I do want to mention the Seahawks defense. That's why I'm higher on this team than I ever expected going into this season. I actually think the Seahawks have a little higher ceiling than I thought, that they could be a contender in the NFC if the offense is better. Actually, Geno and the offense on balance has been worse as a group than I thought, but that's partly injury-related. Their defense is coming. Witherspoon's coming. I love what Jamal Adams has added. They're very good and versatile with their three safety group. Boye Mafe is having a breakout season. They lost Uchenna Nwosu, we should mention.
Yes.
Their best pass rusher for the season, we found out after last game.
Trade deadline next week.
But better up front than I expected. DK Metcalf is back this week. You know, Taylor, Jamal. I just think it's a better overall team than I expected. And that's why I'm locking them up against the Browns.
Greg is such a Seahawks fan. And Cleveland's getting 4 points. We'll see if it stays there.
Lock off?
No, I'm going somewhere else.
No.
I have another. I'm not doing Browns on the road. Seattle, no.
The last 3 weeks with a bye week in there for Seattle's defense, pants the Giants, gave up 3 points, shut down Joe Burrow in Cincinnati after two big drives early, only lost 17, and then Cardinals, they just allowed 10, took care of business. I kind of like, it's annoying because Greg's hot out of the gates with the locks this year.
Yeah, it's a good pick, though.
I think it's a good pick.
Yeah.
I think this could be the PJ Walker.
Is it a courageous
put
pick?
Underground.
There could be schools of thought that suggest it's not incredibly courageous to lock up PJ against PJ Walker, but we'll see.
Seahawks
been
laying
so
four.
High on them. They're literally 4-2. They've been good.
I said schools of thought. I didn't say my school.
All right, Greg, you're up.
I couldn't do Sam Darnold, and I like now that we're spreading it out. We have a strange schedule with Shook, and I'm going to take the Ravens Cardinals late because I want to, because that's who I want to watch live in the late window. I'm not really feeling. The other choice.
Did you think that Cleveland and Seattle wasn't going to make it to the fifth pick? I guess with Greg's fandom of the.
I kind of did. I actually, looking at the landscape, I didn't think it would come back to me.
Yeah. I probably would have taken it.
That's good.
Good scouting, I'd say.
There's been a lot of reaches early on for you this season. But
yeah,
that
but it's
one,
I, pick, you know, that what I pick what I prefer, though. There's a lot of reaches
incredible.
Happening in real life, too, and I just I do what I need to do. So.
Not an incredible week of games, which is why I'm taking Ravens-Cardinals. I just want to take my late game now. It's fine.
Do we keep saying that, by the way, every week, that it's not a great slate of games because everyone in the league is 3-4?
We've said it consistently because it's been consistent.
All 32
accurate.
Teams are 3-4. I know the math doesn't seem to add up, but that's what's happening right now.
Kyler Murray is... fully practicing this week?
Fully.
That's interesting. The Ravens are favored by 8 in this game in Arizona. That says a lot.
It's not a formidable stadium venue.
No, I'm sure there'll be a decent amount of Ravens fans there as well. And they've been showing the practice footage we got on our YouTube show. And like he's looked good out there. And if he doesn't start this week, it really feels like he will start a week from now. Now, you could say, what's he returning to? This team is a bit of a mess, and their passing game with Dobbs has definitely taken a step back. I definitely don't think they'll be able to move the ball well against Baltimore, but the offense has been fine. I actually am intrigued to see him in this Drew Petzig offense. It's really the defense that is going to be in for a world of hurt this game. I really think the Ravens offensive line getting healthy, Linderbaum and Stanley, has changed everything. Because the line's playing well and Lamar's playing out of his mind. And some of the other stuff with the receivers, sometimes they're still in the wrong place and it's a little janky, but Lamar is making up for it. And there's a lot of holes in this Cardinals defense.
There are, and it you get the sense that the Ravens are heating up. And Greg, you were on top of this beat a while ago. It's fair to say that it would have taken a month plus in a new offense, a completely new offense, for everyone on the team to get into this fashion, but they're getting healthier. And I kind of just, the one thing about Baltimore, because if you look at the scope of like the last two or three seasons, it's like they've been among the most injured teams in the league. And I think they found a way to kind of gut their way through some of that, still make playoffs, still win games they should have no business winning. And so if you get a healthier version and you get a Lamar Jackson who's playing the way he is right now, he's a top five quarterback in the league, no questions asked. And we'll see it right there on the YouTube copy. Like Mark Andrews, who's two touchdowns away.
The YouTube copy.
Well, that's what it is, right? Where else would you watch it?
I don't know if anyone's ever.
If you're listening in your car, you're out of luck. But it was Mark Andrews' cat. He's two touchdowns away from tying Todd Heap for the most
Todd Heap
touchdowns
Holy
in history.
God.
And I think Mark Andrews is like the kind of guy that like doesn't get almost enough credit somehow. I don't know. But like I just look at this Ravens offense and I feel like this is maybe where Arizona, who I've had a bit of a fetish for.
A bit?
I don't see it at this point.
Like, okay, thank
the floor
you.
Falls out.
Holy maybe. God. Thank you.
But even a week ago, I was saying.
I can't really push back on the Ravens because it's the wrong time to do it because they just played better than anyone in the league in week 7, and now they have a layup against the Cardinals. But, you know, they're a little weird.
No, you're right.
I'm just saying, like, we're going to view the Ravens as this unstoppable juggernaut, but they've kind of proven a couple times already this year that sometimes you don't know what's going to happen with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, but clean games are an argument. Like, last week
All right,
was a
so let's make them
game.
Two in a row.
Sure.
And because it wasn't that clean in London when we watched them. No. By the way, Greggy, you know what they got next week? Ravens Seahawks, baby.
Ooh.
Greggy
Ooh.
Torn asunder from within.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do, Greg.
That's a fun game. I mean, I just like football. It's not like I'm going to, either way, my team wins.
Oh, what a life for Greg. I have 14 favorite teams, so I can't lose.
I'm just kidding.
Who do you like better? Who do you like
Seahawks.
Better, the Ravens or the Seahawks?
Well, I mean, just in terms of like my emotions watching the game, I'm not really living and dying either way.
Who would you rather win next week? We'll
Seahawks.
Save it for next
week. Seahawks.
Wow. Interesting. Very
not even close.
All right, let's keep moving.
I don't care if the Ravens
not
win
even
or
close.
Lose. Why would I care?
You're a Lamar. Like, you, like, if you see that Lamar me coming at you, like, you're right.
Sure,
front,
I'm rooting
like
for him. I'm rooting for him as
torch.
A player, but I'd rather the Seahawks win.
Greg, it snakes to you.
All right. I am going to take Kevin Burkhardt's early game. It's the Rams.
AB.
It's the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 6-point favorites in this game. It's a lot, but I get it. The Rams are coming off of a disappointing game, and this is, to me, the ultimate test of this Rams offensive line, which I think's really improved. I was impressed how they played against Pittsburgh last week. I thought they protected Matthew Stafford pretty well, and they were able to run the ball against Pittsburgh. I know they didn't win the game, but I just think if their offensive line is good, then they're going to be around to stay, but it's the ultimate test when you go up against this Cowboys pass rush. So that's a fun matchup on that side of the ball when Matthew Stafford has it, because I think they could be better than their 3-4 record. They're one of the few 3-4 teams where I look at that team, I'm like, that's a good team.
How about for the Cowboys, who are on bye? Couldn't have gone better for them. So you get the bye, you get to get healthy, you get some shots off against the league about, you know, people give us a harder time than the rest of the league. And then you see the Lions get humiliated the way they were. And then you see the Eagles. No, who else went down? There was another
San Francisco
goes down, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, like I know we're not perfect, but you know, they're not perfect either. And they had a chance to reset. Now I'm very interested to see, I've been kind of banging this drum a little bit. Like how are we nearly at the midpoint of the season and Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb have hooked up for one touchdown this year? Like that needs to be like
very much your fantasy team, Matt Ryan season, CeeDee
but
Lamb
like
season
even be yes. And CeeDee Lamb is on my fantasy team, but like I mean, come on now. Like, CeeDee Lamb, I think we all kind of feel, or at least I feel, like he's a top 10 receiver. Dak doesn't have a ton of options on the field. How are they not funneling targets and letting that guy make plays? Because when CeeDee Lamb is making catches, and he's still CeeDee Lamb, and he's electric with the ball in his hands, I feel like that's an obvious missing part of their offense in the new Texas Coast offense, is the chemistry, or at least the production between those two guys. That said, it is still a pretty small sample size, and you would think by the end of the season, these things even out. So if he had a big game on Sunday, it would not shock me. It's just weird that that huge game hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think they just haven't really been the sum of their parts on offense, because there's nothing not to like about the roster in general. But I think back in the summer, if I were to tell you that the Rams would be eighth in passing EPA and the Cowboys would be 12th, the Rams would be fourth in rushing EPA and the Cowboys would be 16th. I'd be like, well, wait, flip those. Like, I don't even expect the Rams to be much of anything. And they've been a surprise. But I do think this is a time, it's an important, important week for Dallas to, like, just simply shred the Rams and look like the team that we want them to look like. They're third against the pass, fourth against the rush, first in pressure rate, the best man coverage team in the league. Matthew Stafford has been, like, it's weird because Matthew Stafford, we talked about it with Nick, it's like 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The stats throw them out the window because he's throwing the ball as well as he ever has, and you've got a nice group of receivers. But Dallas has really no excuse to not take care of business here if I'm to buy them at all.
Yeah.
Because you can say the Niners lost and the Eagles did this or that, but it's like the Cowboys had to I need them to convince you can take care of your own business.
I feel like it's kind of, you're talking out of two sides of the mouth there, because it's like, oh, the Rams are actually much better than we thought, and here's some data backing that up. And now the Cowboys have no business not taking care of business.
I think this is not a... They're not the Cowboys at all. Like that. So it's like, I do think that the Rams...
I'm just saying, I think this is a pretty good... evenly matched game. Maybe the Cowboys are the favorite and they're at home.
6 points.
But they've lost some guys on their defense, and I think this should be closer than perhaps the spread tells us.
By the way, CeeDee Lamb is on pace for like 100 catches and 1,300 yards. Just telling you. So the touchdowns are random.
But all right, throw the stats out the window. It's not the same. It's not like what you expect. You know what I expect from CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott? What Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown are doing on Sunday.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
It was the Chargers game, you know, a sign of things to come for Dak. That was his best game by far of the season, certainly since that playoff game. He used his legs, which, you know, just you know, us believers in Dak have been just begging, like, what happened? Like, he used his legs, and multiple times to make throws and to run. That was huge, and so you want to see that continue. And they did get rid of Brett Maher. We didn't mention it on this show, but Brett Maher is no more in Los Angeles. And this team's crazy. They bring in Daryl Henderson off the street, and he's suddenly like their number one guy, and he's actually running the ball well. They get rid of their kicker. I thought Jordan Rodriguez, our friend, mentioned a great point.
The great
this
point,
Thursday,
Jordan,
that Sean McVay is among the league leaders in losing. You know, points added in terms of it. There's a way to like look at it in terms of this fourth down decision. He is extremely conservative punting and kicking field goals on fourth down, and yet they won't pay for a kicker, and they're going the cheap route on the kicker. And those two things don't match up. It's like you're losing points because you got this great offense.
Well, nobody pays for kickers for the most part, right?
No, but they went out of their way to get rid of the best kicker in the league, and they're going on the cheap, and they're not going for it ever on fourth down. They're trusting their punter, who's also not really playing well. They're trusting their kicker.
Who's the kicker now?
It's a man I was not familiar
with. Where the hell is Robbie Gould? Someone tell me where Robbie Gould is.
They have signed Lucas Haversick.
When did Robbie Gould ever decline? Our eyes. Never.
There's something else going on with that story. I mean, I talked about it on last Sunday after the Maher meltdown. It's like, it's crazy to me that they hoped at the level of mental breakdown in that playoff run with the Cowboys would never pop up again. It was a huge roll of the dice. But also, it made me think after they made the right decision, sadly for Maher, to move on here rather than get into that sad dance, the Cowboys chose to stick with Maher last year in the same situation in the playoffs. And I'll never get over that.
But it's like, hey, let's maybe not trust Maher to hit a 50-yarder, and let's trust Matthew freaking Stafford and Cooper Kupp.
That's fair.
Right.
That's
the other coach is a little conservative like Sean McVay is Kyle Shanahan.
All right, let's take a break, and then we will continue with the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, welcome back, Mark. It comes back to you.
All right, I'm going to take Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's getting 2.5 points in this. I guess I just want to see what happens with the Steelers team, like just basically on offense. I feel like the defense is sort of the same thing. It's like it's TJ Watt doing something game changing, scenery changing on a weekly basis, and the rest of them I rely on for the most part. I think the offense, it's like this is the story of this team, and I want to see more Jalen Warren. George Pickens coming off two straight 100-yard games. That's very promising. And it's like like with Pickett, I don't know, like with Kenny Pickett, it's like, I think he's just sort of a middle of the pack, Dalton line type of guy, but he does have a knack to like keep these teams in games. And I think if you get the best version of Pickens and Jalen Warren away from Najee Harris, am I crazy? I just like, I like the juice that Warren brings, and I like to reorganize that offense that way where that's all they're trying to do and go up against the Jacksonville defense. That's been, essentially the best in coverage league wide. No other team on offense for the Jacksonville allows less pressure. Like they've just been a very good, like they've been a surprising defense. So
I think a lot of it is
a challenge for Pittsburgh.
Right. I've been as surprised by their defense as any in the NFL. Now it goes back to what I say with like, look at the opponents that they faced. But Kansas City, you know, is one of them. It was early. Buffalo was one of them. Houston's a decent offense. So it's not just beating up on bad offenses, and the Steelers should be a bad offense. Like, the Jaguars are really good stopping the run. Then you make them one-dimensional. Kenny Pickett coming out of that bye had his best game of the year by far. Like, he looked like an NFL quarterback again. And so if they somehow found something, and maybe it's just Deontay Johnson, like, this is a fun little game here. Well, Jacksonville-Pittsburgh. Used to be a rivalry, I feel like.
Yeah, I think these are two teams.
The old AFC North way back in the day. AFC Central. There's six teams in there.
These two teams have failed to capture my imagination. Mm. Which, who cares? Who cares if they capture my imagination? But I'm just saying, like, when you guys are pumping it up, and that's cool. That's good. That's what we do on the show. But when I watch the Jaguars, I'm kind of like waiting for it to be a little bit more exciting than it actually is. And they've been successful for the most part this season. But and Pittsburgh, I just find them to be a slog. I know they've come to life, and adding Pickens back to the mix is such a big deal for them. because he is an actual playmaker and he helps a quarterback who I do believe is, you know, like you're saying, very middle of the pack at best. But this is a hard game for me to pick. I would say Pittsburgh at home. I like kind of them keeping this thing low scoring. I kind of like the Steelers here.
I like Jacksonville. They're favored by 2.5. I just think they've been better. But, you know, they changed their strategy last week with Trevor Lawrence playing with an injured knee. Like, he got rid of the ball so quickly. They weren't trying anything downfield. I think that was to protect him. So we'll see if he's feeling a little better. He ran well in that game anyways. And I am just curious because it's the last game before the trade deadline here. They feel like the team most likely, in my mind, to make a big trade this next week. I think
Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think they will bring in a guy like Danielle Hunter or Chase Young or Brian Burns. To me, they would be my number one pick of like a team that is going to make a move. It's partly because Trayvon Walker is not getting it done, but it's also because they have the room. They need a pass rusher, and I think they will be aggressive in doing it.
It was a good check-in time on Trayvon Walker. Oh, we're in that place where sacks don't represent havoc Trayvon Walker causes. We're in that stage of the narrative. Okay.
Wait, what do you even mean?
When you go number one, that's what Mike Tomlin said this week, so I guess he was pumping him up, pulling the bell check.
I don't think he's like a good run defender and a minus pass rusher at this point.
Number one overall pick. All right, back to me. I will grab, the Snoopy Bowl. It's back. The New York Jets favored by 3. First time Gang Green has been favored all season. A little fun fact for you. Traveling, or not traveling, staying home at the Meadowlands, but they are the road team against the G-Men. Let's see if there's a lower over and under this week. I don't think it's even close. Yeah, 36.5. Andrew Catalan and
Falcons Titans with our backups in Tennessee, even a little lower.
Thanks.
Wow. Oh, we got Tiki in the booth on this. That homer.
Back to back Giants games for Tiki. I know. I see you.
He's got to be professional and not.
We need Tiki in the booth for this game. Matt and Andrew can handle this one.
Need is strong.
Okay. So Jets coming off their bye. It's a kind of a gut check situation now for Jets fans, because you've now bought back in and you are believing after the trauma of week one, stealing that game against the Eagles. You kind of set yourself up now with the schedule softening up to put yourself in good position to make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers in the background saying, I could come back at the end of the season. But these are exactly the type of games you got to win. You can't now show up flat, as the defense, as good as it's been, has been not very good at all early in games. And they kind of heat up as things go along. Tyrod Taylor, most likely the starting quarterback, although Daniel Jones is practicing on Thursday, he has not been cleared to play. It's very tricky when you're dealing with a neck injury. So I expect you're going to see Tyrod again with no connection to the medical physicians connected to the Giants, but we shall see. Either way, it's going to be interesting to see the Jets offensive line, which lost some key guys before the bye to injury, up against the Giants pass rush mark that finally woke up against Washington with 6 sacks after having 5 the first 6 weeks. So if you get a pass rush against Wilson, you could create turnovers and the Giants can hang around. I think this will be a low scoring game and it will come down to if Wilson can continue to build on his modest gains in recent weeks.
Yeah, it feels like a 17-14 type situation. I mean, 2 offensive lines, the Jets working around their limitations, the Giants, a disastrous offensive line. Andrew Thomas did return to limited practice. We'll see what happens there. I love this for the Jets. DJ Reed, coming off a concussion, full participant. Sauce Gardner, full participant. You've got one of the deepest, densest, most terrorizing defensive lines in the league against a Giants offensive line that has just simply said, come and take our quarterback down to the turf 5 to 6 times a game, week after week. I love this for the Jets because I think there's something going on with the Jets that is spiritual and strange. The Giants, to me, have zero juice, and I'm locking up the Jets for the first time in about 1,000 years. They're going to win this night. They're doing it. They're going to win it.
Mark, oh,
why?
No, I don't know.
Why not? What's not to like?
They're 3-point favorites here.
What's not to like? What's not to like?
No, you're right. There's a lot of things pointing to the Jets should take care of business, but, you know.
Snoopy Bowl nuclear bomb blast occurs on Sunday.
I'll give you one thing not to like, and that's that Tyrod is playing at a higher level than Daniel Jones was if Tyrod plays.
Well, where is he playing relative to the rest of the quarterbacks in the league, like 25th, 26th?
I would say he'd be right around the Dalton scale for the two games that he's played. I mean, he's played...
I'm not scared of Tyrod Taylor.
Hey, guys, I have... if you want to direct this criticism to two groups of people, we have a certain fellow who wants to weigh in as well.
Zoo.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
To the zoo.
Hello, heroes. I know you're probably surprised to see me since Phil said he was going to try to take this over. All the brothers said, yeah, we got the lock this week, Nick. We're going to just do it for a while. Send the video in, take care of business. Well, guess what? They didn't follow through. Shocking development. I get a text from Eric this morning saying, hey, Nick, no one sent me a video. We don't have a pick.
He's just settling scores.
I swear. I must be hanging out in the ape house because I'm working with a bunch of orangutans here. I mean, are you kidding me? Guess what, Phil? You suck. Tim, you suck. Mike, you stink. Eddie, Larry, you're all right because at least you didn't try to take it over and do something you knew you weren't going to follow through on. Anyway, I'm going to do the exact opposite of what they would want. I'm locking up the Jets. The Giants stink. They're terrible. Fork them, get them out of here. The Jets will make the playoffs. Whoa. Lock it up.
Oh, wow, all right.
Well, I don't know. Like, whenever in the past, whenever Chris Wessling would agree with anything I said about football, I just sit in my chair beaming, and like I feel the same right here.
Oh, wow.
Nick and friends. I do. I think the zoo's going to get their act together.
All right. It's just like, what is happening? And I want everyone to understand with these Wessling brothers, none of this is made up for the show. Like, they fight like cats and dogs, orangutans and monkeys, whatever you want to say. And they are settling scores on a widely heard podcast. I mean, one of the quotes there from Nick, Phil, you suck. Like that, I mean, yeah. That's within the context of a
sorry,
a pick.
Phil. Yeah. I think that was hard.
Well, Phil, according to Nick, in fairness, Phil or whomever was supposed to provide, so he's coming with a little of vitriol because they didn't record the video.
So. But yep. Nick wasn't supposed to totally blow the pick last week either, which he did.
Oh.
Greg went in that direction.
By the way, Sam Darnold. Zach Wilson, one interception in his last 134 attempts.
His misses are better. I actually think that's like the number one thing. His misses, he misses in the right spot. Like
also,
they're not catastrophic.
Two things. Yes, and it's related. He is hitting the layups now, which he couldn't do last year. Like checkdowns, things like that. Like he has definitely shown improvement the last few weeks. Let's see if it continues.
I'm worried about the Jets in this game. I think the Giants have played much better the last 2 weeks. I think Wink Martindale is a particular kind of test for a young quarterback in a bad offensive line. I think Tyrod's been good. I think Saquon helps them. So I just
Darren Waller is in the mix.
To
now.
Me, it's just it's a dangerous game. It's a coin flip.
Do not feel any fear.
As my sons do when they agree, I'm with you. This feels like a dangerous game. Good luck to Nick and Mark. Snakes to me, and this one I think not two losing teams, but intrigue. Vikings at Packers. Vikings favored by one on the road. So here are the Vikings coming off the win of their season so far. By far, they go and knock off the Niners in prime time, and Kirk Cousins plays his arse off and absolutely shreds with Justin Jefferson on the sideline in sunglasses. So he's playing with confidence. The Packers, watching them this morning, and I'm just like, this is tough. Nothing's easy for this team, and they kind of look like they're going to get blown out by the Broncos, and it's like, this is rock bottom. And Greg, they found their way back into that game but fell short in the end, and this has all the feeling right now of a developmental season for an organization and a fan base that doesn't know what that is. And that's why I see a lot of like angst around the Packers, but
yeah,
it's not totally surprising, and it shouldn't be, that this is how the season has played out so far.
I agree, but I still expected more. The Vikings are the better team, and yet this does feel like a spot where it's a division game. It just, Minnesota's coming off a high. A lot of times it evens out. But I think Matt LaFleur is stuck in a weird spot with his offense because the Packers just can't run the ball. They were supposed to have a really good offensive line. They are 29th in run block win rate. And yet they're really good protecting Jordan Love. I mean, you watch these games and Jordan Love is just chilling back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, does the eye test match up with the numbers? They're very high in the PFF rankings. They're second in pass block win rate. Like, and they've got these receivers. So you're asking Jordan Love to drop back there because that's where your offensive line is good. And yet he's not always making great decisions. And I think it's tough in this matchup, particularly because this Vikings secondary, their pass defense has been fun to watch. Harrison Smith, this three safety tandem between him and Cam Bynum and Josh Metellus, who they just gave a contract to, have been really good. Bynum was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Like, do the Packers have answers for Flores cooking up his mad, you know, blitz packages and different coverages and changing post snap? That's a lot to ask of Jordan Love. I don't feel great about it.
I don't like it for Jordan Love in this situation. I think you're right about the run game. Like, they've not. Aaron Jones has essentially played less than Nick Chubb this season.
He has 94 yards rushing this year.
That I think that was so key to them because A.J. Dillon has not been helpful at all. You don't have him. Brian Flores' defense, number one in blitz rate. And Harrison Smith, guys like Harrison Smith, he's using them creatively. And I just wonder about Jordan Love. The offense to me has looked discombobulated in general. There's a lot of just young players around him. And is this a situation where if you're the Vikings, where I think there's just a lot of energy on that defense? It showed up last week. You got guys like Jordan Addison on offense wiling up. And the next four opponents for the Vikings are the Falcons, Saints, Broncos, and Bears. Could this be the start of a run that I think you pointed to Minnesota-wise, Dan, when we didn't want to get them forked out of this situation? Like, they're a weird team. They're still in all these one-score games. They lost a bunch, but they're starting to win them now. Are they going to morph into the team we saw last year a little bit?
I mean, listen, the league is filled with parity, and they can hang in and win all of those games. Yeah, I think it's a little, like, Jordan Love, I don't think is playing well at all. And then the numbers are backing that up. He has the lowest completion percentage in the NFL. They're averaging, I believe, about 17 points a game right now.
Hmm.
And so the ball, they're not moving the ball, and they're not scoring points. And
the defense is bad. That's the disappointing part for me. I guess it's not surprising, but they have a lot of good players on their defense.
And, you know, you haven't been bailed out by the running game at all because you've had Aaron Jones has been banged up. Like, A.J. Dillon's the leading rusher for this team. So, you know, it's a tough situation for Green Bay, but at the same time, like, you don't just always mark to something that is given certain fan bases a lot of aggravation. It's like, you don't always just have to keep rolling to one dynasty to the next, one era to the next. Like, this is a transition year. Vikings, let's see you take care of business with Kenny Albert and Vilma on the call. All right, Mark, it is back to you.
All right. I could see you saying I'm not taking the greatest game here, but it fascinates me on my own level. I'm taking the Texans at the Panthers. You've got, this is a weird note, but this kind of got me into it because, of course, it's Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud. Do you know that they met at a middle school summer camp?
Wow.
I was there too, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, it was
I don't
really
think
nice
you were, unless you were a counselor. You're roughly 20 years older than them. But known each other for a long time. And it's a bit of a study in like two rebuilding teams that each went out and got their quarterback. And we know that the Panthers are a disaster right now on a lot of levels, and it's not going well. And, you know, it's too early to really even, it's hard to even scout Bryce Young in the situation he's in. So it's like, I'm going to just see what happens. But
is what it's for.
I mean,
you know, if nothing else.
Well.
Okay, how about this?
He's last coming game, off he was his a little bit better. Game. Yeah, last game was better.
He's coming off his best game, CJ Stroud coming off his worst. In that particular game, I thought Bryce Young played excellent in the first half of that game and was fine in the second.
He's made a couple passes in every one of these games, but also some like massive blunders. And I think he's in a bad ecosystem. The CJ Stroud, like Bobby Slowick offense and what they're doing in general, like, they've won three of their last four games by seven or more points. They're like turning into a real thing. And I know they've been sort of a team of ATN like possibility. I think this feels like a little bit of a trap game to me, just because like Carolina at some point's going to do it. But I just think the Texans, to me, under Stroud, like, they have I believe
they were
in them. I think they're well coached.
They're pretty, you know, fortunate to get out of New Orleans there on Thursday night with the tight end dropping the ball there. Not saying that means that they didn't deserve to win that game, because they did. But I'm also not. This one kind of was on my radar a little bit because I was like, oh, this would be a game to lock up the winless against the winless team. But yeah, I like that you got Frank Reich got to go into the bye with Bryce Young coming off a good game, and now they can kind of reset things against the Houston defense, Greg, that while this team has improved, there's no reason to think that the Panthers might not have success here at home and maybe finally get that first win. I think this game, I think this could be it.
I know they shouldn't be this bad. I think it's a great test of, you know, first year head coaches coming off a bye in general. I think coming off the bye is a great test of coaches, and that they're both doing it is interesting. And I mentioned, I liked what I saw out of Bryce Young in that Miami game, especially in the first half. They had some answers. I am a little worried about their pass protection versus Will Anderson and Jonathan Greenard, who have really been a nice tandem. Anderson is one you mentioned, you know, we're using the whole Trayvon Walker sacks don't equal right. How he's playing. With Will Anderson, it's absolutely true. He is really playing outstanding. His hurries, his hits are there with the leaders in the league. It hasn't translated to sacks. It has a little more for Greenard on the other side. So that's a worrisome factor. And I'm going to go fantasy here. It's like, if we're ever going to get Damian Pierce in my preseason prediction to be right ever, this is it. There's too many negative runs in this Houston offense. They're supposed to be a 49ers-like offense. So many, and this is the worst run defense in the entire NFL. It's one of the very worst defenses in general. That's a big reason why they're 0-6.
What a nice...
That Bryce Young doesn't get, you know, it's not his fault that they're the worst run defense in the NFL.
And what a nice pickup for fantasy owners, Adam Thielen, turning into like a garbage stats monster. I wonder, it would be, with the trade deadline coming up, it would be really nice to see the Panthers maybe pull something off and get another playmaker there.
Like they want to. They've been talked about for a couple of weeks as wanting a wide receiver. That's going
to
change.
Let us see. And by the way, to your point, Will Anderson, he's just got one sack, but 8 QB hits. That's tied for most on the team. Mm. Second most QB hits in NFL among rookies. I don't know if you know who would have the most hits amongst rookies, QB hits.
Jalen Carter. I would guess.
Byron Young of the LA Rams.
Wow. Nice little player.
That?
Agent Zero, I think they call him. By the way, Texans 3-point favorites.
All right. Let's move to Greg.
Okay. I got a certain strategy this Sunday. It's a weird Sunday. Falcons, Titans. Falcons are 2.5-point favorites on the road against the Titans. Let's review the Titans quarterback situation. Our guy, Ian Rappaport, reported Will Levis is being prepared to start. Multiple times all week, and this was on my radar, Mike Vrabel came out and said, we're preparing both players to play. And when he said that, I was like, does that mean that Levis is starting, but they've sort of got some fun plays for Malik Willis? Mm. And then the reporters locally came back with him saying, hey, your guy Rapsheet, maybe you knew him back when he was a Patriots reporter. Maybe not. Not sure if they crossed paths.
Okay.
He reported Will Levis is starting. What do you say? He's like, I'm preparing both players to play. So I think we know it's Levis starting, a little bit of Willis. And then Tannehill showed up at practice Wednesday trying to do some stuff.
Right, sit down.
And
take a break.
You never know. So we could see him. I just wanted to update you on the quarterback situation for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. And maybe we can put some like Halloween horror music under that, because I have to say, like, does this ever work? Like, oh, Team X planning to use multiple quarterbacks on Sunday. It's like, good luck. It's like, we don't have a quarterback we like enough to actually play, so we're gonna kitchen sink it and hope something happens. But you get it, because Malik Willis, you know, God love him, has been a disaster in what we've seen of him as a pro so far. And now Levis, who is touted as a guy with tools but raw and needs time to develop. Now you're going to develop means here. Welcome to week 8. You're now playing in the NFL. So I think maybe Vrabel, Greg, is trying to keep his options open, knowing that, you know, both of those things can get hairy. So maybe if little this, little that, way we go.
There's no evidence that Mike Vrabel is in support of Malik Willis as his quarterback on any level. It dates back to last season when they got Josh Dobbs.
And there's zero chance Derrick Henry doesn't get out of this game without throwing a pass.
Well, that may be their best option. I mean, coming out of the London game, like, the most striking visuals we saw were Ryan Tannehill getting destroyed by the Ravens. So it's like not a good offensive line. Malik Willis has shown us nothing. Well, Levis, like, you didn't beat out Malik Willis in camp. That's a bit concerning. I mean, I like the idea. I'm a little bit better. I think if you're in reverse, if the Falcons are ever going to run the ball well, like in the last couple weeks, the Colts ran over for 193 yards. Last week, the Ravens crushed the Titans for 139. if the Falcons are ever going to do this, maybe it's this week, because they've been a good run defense. Otherwise.
How's our friend?
Kind of shocked.
How's our friend Bijan this week? Is he physically? Is he practicing? Is he shaken?
He's expected to play, but they're not a good running team. I mean, he's a great running back, but they're not a good running team. They've been more effective throwing the ball, except for the plays where Desmond Ridder gives it away. Like, Ridder is coming off, you know, the best two-game stretch of his career, but it's just crazy that, like, oh, wow, Desmond Ridder making nice throws. He did it last week. I was impressed with a lot of his throws, and then he just kills you with the mistakes.
The timing of the mistakes.
Yeah.
Three red zone turnovers last week, and they're averaging 13 points a game.
But they also could be 5-3 after this week. They are favored, you know.
I think Colleen was on to something. All right, Greg, snakes to you.
All right. I am going to take the Saints and the Colts.
All right.
A rematch.
All right.
Of one of my favorite Super Bowls of all time. A long time ago now.
It was.
Saints are 1-point favorites on the road. Don't like that. I like the underdog in this game. I think the Colts are a better team overall. And I think the Saints, there's just a lot going on with this Saints team. Defensively, they can lock you up, but I really liked what I saw out of Indianapolis in terms of their ground game and what they got going with Jonathan Taylor and the way Shane Steichen can change his game plan from week to week. And I think Taylor's health really gives them a lot of options. Minshew, he's not going to be Anthony Richardson, but he can at least provide a little bit of run threat on some of those fakes that it'll work well enough. And I just think they've been a tough-minded team for the most part, and the Saints are not a tough-minded team in my mind.
Minshew ran the ball really well against Cleveland, and it was like design run territories, and I think he gives them that. I mean, it's been a couple sort of somewhat atypical weeks for Minshew because of the giveaways. Coming into this season, like, his touchdown to interception ratio was pretty spectacular, and the mistakes have cropped up, and they've coached around it a little bit. I would also say that he's had a really nice connection with Josh Downs, who has been great as a rookie for them, and Michael Pittman too. And so there's the big plays are happening, and I think the biggest development there is that Jonathan Taylor against Cleveland looked like the Jonathan Taylor that we've waited for, and that can change everything for them.
Minshew has thrown 4 interceptions targeting Michael Pittman per Next Gen Stacks, and then Michael Pittman came out after the loss last week and said, maybe I'm not like an important guy in this offense. Erase the dry board, because a wide receiver has spoken about being unhappy. So you know what happens, because you saw what happened last week with Devontae Adams. They will funnel targets to Pittman to try to keep him happy.
Let's give him some credit, though. On Wednesday, unprompted, he called the reporters over and said, like, man, I was in my head Sunday. I was kind of being an ass and apologize.
Well, he didn't say he was being an ass. He said, I'm a sore loser. Yeah. Like, I hate losing. And, like, I get that.
It was
a mea
culpa, though, unprompted. So I give it to him.
Derek Carr, he had a heart-to-heart with Chris Olave. And so they've had very productive conversations this week. And they had a great week of practice. So we'll see what happens with that. I felt real bad for that wide receiver on Thursday night, the drop. And I liked seeing Alvin Kamara take him off the field, because he was just sitting alone on the bench with the game long over. So good leadership from Kamara. And then my last thought, because we don't get to talk about Thursday Night Football when we're not on the games. Greg, Kamara's fascinating in this offense because he just gets the ball constantly. And Derek Carr, who's never been afraid of a check down, now has one of the great check down running backs of his era in Kamara. It was tough to watch Kamara unable to crack that end zone. I know he's hyper productive, but the old Kamara in that game finds the goal line and gets himself over. That's the slight difference with him, that he doesn't have that same, whatever it is just a little bit off, where he doesn't have that same nose for the end zone, which he was unparalleled a few years back.
I agree with you. He's not forcing as many missed tackles, but 5 or 6 of those throws were Carr coming to the check down too quickly.
Right. I'm kind of referring to that one red zone drive where they said, I'm going to give you the ball 4 times. AK, get in. And he didn't. But, man, he's a PPR monster, I'll tell you that. All right. One last note. Ursay, owner of the Colts, came out and said that the NFL, now, this is what the owner of the Colts said.
Yeah.
That the NFL said both those calls were wrong late against Cleveland, both against the same defensive back. His name is escaping me. Does anybody recall it? Both the defensive holding
against Cooper, and then the PI when the ball was almost thrown into the front row.
Was it Dallas Baker?
Doesn't help. It doesn't help the standings. But I guess if I'm a Colts fan, I'm like, okay, at least the NFL said we boofed it.
Well, but they're also going to fine Jim Irsay based on past precedent for saying that publicly, which he doesn't care.
That's fine. But I like, and Irsay says things you don't want him to say. We all get that. He says things.
You would care, Roberts, if it was the Bills.
Right. I liked that he came out and said this. I liked that he did this.
Yeah, you want your owner to hold the NFL's feet to the fire if they boof it. Yeah, of course.
That was more, I don't care that I'm getting fined as Jim Irsay. Like, right. He's printing money. He doesn't care. But no, it's always good for them to like speak up about a mistake. But yeah, that was more of a Irsay not caring about
getting
fined.
I like it when, Eric, when you wear this
buttoned-up Bills.
Bills buttoned-up polo. It really pops.
You know, I don't want to. I want to dress up for game day, but I just don't like wearing a jersey around the office.
Take down that one lapel heart side. Yeah, down a little bit. There we go.
There you go.
And look how clean that mustache is.
Cleaned up, you know.
It looks good.
Time on
this. This is why you watch the YouTube show.
Do you put wax on it?
No, I do not.
Product?
Okay. No.
Just
no.
curious.
Thursdays. I know there might be some camera time on Thursday, so you get a, you know,
yeah.
You don't really razor it all the time.
Suddenly he'll be down there in makeup.
And there's a Tyson Bajan thing going on right now because look how clean cut Roberts looks. And then, you know, you start, you know, pulling up the sleeve or you see him in a pair of shorts and all of a sudden it's like, am I at the Bikers Association of America?
Got to see me on the weekend for shorts. Yeah.
I would say that this show has a history of producers angling for increasing camera time as the months go on. And
I'm not crossing
suddenly
that
we got grade. Eric in that tornado.
I think you've really maneuvered yourself very well, Eric, and you're doing a great job as our producer. Mark, back to you.
All right. I'll take Patriots at Dolphins. Patriots getting 9.5 in this. Huge, like, season-saving or salvaging victory against the Bills. I don't know if they could ever pull it off in Miami, that would be wild. I feel like dating back to, like, the middle of the 1800s, weird things happen to the Patriots in Miami.
Usually not good.
Yeah, but bad.
Ill things. Yeah. Weird things atypical.
Trying to make a tackle on a return.
Yeah.
Those sort of things.
I feel like those things don't matter, but then they kind of just seems to happen every year. I do look back at the first game, though, where I think Miami against Philadelphia and like the two winning teams they've faced, they lost both of them. I don't know what that tells me about the Dolphins. It's a little concerning. They couldn't run the ball last week. I think it's really important that someone like Raheem Mostert, who blew up for 121 yards and two touchdowns with a 43-yard scamper against New England. Like,
scamper!
If you can do that, like, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. Because the only other thing about their offense, like, Mostert actually did not practice. He's got a banged-up ankle. Tyreek Hill has a banged-up hip. It's like, if you start to lose parts, like, then it's Mike McDaniel's challenge to get out of not being able to do what he's done week after week. But I'm leaning on the concept that what happened against New England had a lot to do with the Bills being in a funk. And some of their strengths may be working against Buffalo, but to do it 2 weeks in a row, I can't get on board with that.
So Tyreek Hill did return on Thursday, which great news because the vibes didn't sound great with him
right
on Wednesday, but it sounds like he'll be back for this game. It's a big time test, I think, for both coaches. I think playing Belichick the second time is a unique test in general in the AFC East, but it goes the other way too. So McDaniel and him having to go against each other twice in such a short time. I think you look at what the Patriots did last time they played, which was just back the hell up and try to prevent the big play and slow it down. And they did an okay job at that. But I think they'll look at what Philadelphia did and was really effective and I think really interesting, which is Philadelphia really sold out to stop the run. They also played almost entirely in zone coverage, and they were in cover two, just totally backed up trying to prevent the big play. I mean, mostly everyone does that. But they really made a point to have a lot of guys on the line of scrimmage and prevent the run from getting going and put them in long yardage situations. It's an interesting way to attack the Dolphins, and it worked quite well.
Massive, and I buy into this, trap game implications for the Dolphins. Coming off Philadelphia in primetime, you get the Pats at home, and then you go to Kansas City next week in primetime.
To Germany.
That's right, 9:30 a.m.
Lower prime.
They're in Germany, for Christ's sake. So the idea, they're trying to find their passports on Saturday night when maybe they should be studying what's going on with the Patriots team, that this is going to sound silly, but it is a fact is a fact. Yeah, they had, when things were in their little rock bottom moment there, that 2 week stretch, Greggy, which is very tough for you and the Pats fans, 38-3, 34 zip. They've had the Buffalo win, and in general, every other game other than those two, it's been, the losses have been 7 points or less. So it's not, they did less than 6 weeks ago, kind of shut down the Miami attack or slow it down. So while this certainly could be 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, I guess it's just that old Belichick maybe has something up his sleeve. And the fact that Miami has yet to earn the benefit of the doubt that they could roll over anybody they want. I see them rolling over certain teams and not others, and I don't think the Dolphins
will. Well, so they destroyed lesser opponents,
Patriots.
No doubt. But I refuse to accept that the Patriots, like especially on offense, have been reborn. I mean, prior to the Bills game, their point totals last 4 weeks were 15 points, 3. They got shut out by the Saints, give me a break, and 17 against the...
Well, I didn't say that the Patriots offense
is
reborn.
I just think, like, you've got to find a way.
Ugly it up.
If the Dolphins can run, though, if the Dolphins can do it with Mostert, like, you've got to find a way to hang around with Miami, and I just, like, how is... Well, there's New England's way out.
They're a different offense now.
They've already done it.
They've gotten their offensive line healthier. So Onwenu playing right tackle really shores up what I was saying was the weakest position in football. And then Cole Strange returning at guard. I think they actually have a good enough starting five now on the offensive line. And that was a problem. And then we got Pop Douglas, Mark. We're a different team here with Pop Douglas.
Pop Douglas.
It's crazy that a late round rookie, like, you know, gadget looking type of player is obviously the best, most explosive offensive player on the Patriots. It's not even like a question. He's literally the only one on the team that can make anyone miss. They also don't have Christian Gonzalez, who played really well in that first game, helping out against Tyreek Hill. And instead, you got J.C. Jackson, who's thinking, I already got roasted by Tyreek Hill in week one with the Chargers. Now I get traded to another team, then I got to go deal with Tyreek Hill. That's not fun.
All right. Let's take a break, and we'll close out the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back. Let's close this thing out. Back-to-back picks for Zuzer. So Zuzer's got 5 games?
I only
got 2 eyes, folks. We'll have to work that out. Let's start. Interesting. All right, so there are two teams in the Super Bowl are from last year are available. Is that right? That's how this ended up.
Well, I think it's the opponents are playing into that.
Let's start with the Chiefs at the Broncos. Chiefs getting 7 points here, as they should. In fact, a little generous for the Broncos.
I think so, too.
Now, the Denver Broncos have played better. I think, like the Patriots, we've probably seen the worst of them this year, and now they're going to start kind of figuring things out and hanging in games and not being a laughingstock. But, you know, I think it was interesting to see certain things with the Chiefs offense. You saw vintage Travis Kelce last week for the kind of first time, where it was like, okay, that's the dude. You saw vintage Mahomes, who, you know, his ability is peerless ability to just manipulate and fool defenses with his ability outside the pocket. I mean, he's at his peak form and just creating big plays just with his eyes and his legs and his uncanny ability to know exactly where the line of scrimmage is. And then you have Rashee Rice, who they've been waiting. Who is the guy that's going to step up? It's Rice. And you look at all the data points behind it, his ability. He's their slot guy now, and he is their yards after catch guy over the middle. And he's filling a very important role if this stays where it is. So everybody talked about Kadarius Toney before the season. He's just a guy. He'll always be just a guy. And they maybe even can use someone else, Greg, with the trade deadline coming up. Mecole Hardman is just a guy himself. But you're starting to see the Chiefs.
They got a lot of guys, though. They got to get rid of some if they're bringing anyone in.
You gotta say the Chiefs might be starting to figure it out on offense again. And with that defense that they're paired with, they're scary.
They, you know, are the Super Bowl favorites. IMO. Hey, that's what the
all right.
Saying.
We got all the youth culture involved now. Cut that for social. I mean, and send it to the local middle school.
You don't need to know more than Patrick Mahomes, and with one of the better defense in the league. That's all you need to know. And the fact that the offense is coming off a good game. I'm not going to say the offense is back, though, because just 2 weeks ago against this very same Broncos team, who at the time had a historically bad defense, the Chiefs offense didn't really
do much. You said it was a sign they were maybe figuring some things out.
I tend to agree because, again, it's Patrick Mahomes and a really good offensive line. So that's the mismatch to me, and that's ultimately the problem for the rest of the NFL is the Chiefs' pass protection has been incredible this year. And you have a matchup this week where it's like, okay, you want to throw Nick Bonito and Zach Allen and Jonathan Cooper at us? Like, okay, good luck with that. I have a feeling we're scoring more than 19 points this time around. I don't like the two matchups in 3 weeks. I know the NFL schedule makers are in a tough spot, and it happens once or twice a year.
It's just bots now, I think. Remember, it used to be like, they put him in a conference room with cigarettes and send in takeout for 3 months and lock the door and figure out the schedule, you ghouls. And now it's just like AI figuring out matchups.
It is primarily done by AI, not a human.
We were just in London doing this recap like a week ago, it feels like. It is silly. It may be the Denver defense, though, now, Mark, is normal. I don't know.
Well,
2 weeks, they played normal.
They did, 19 points against the Chiefs, true. 17 against a pretty shaky Packers offense. I'm not taking too much from any of that, but I think that you look at like what occurred in that game when they played them just days ago, it feels like Travis Kelce had a huge monster performance. I think that can happen again, no problem. And it's like, in what area does Denver outshine Kansas City on any level?
They haven't beat him in how many years?
16 straight losses. Yeah. But Patrick
Mahomes.
I think
the answer is not at all. They didn't have they did have Justin Simmons back for that game.
They go.
He had the interception over Mahomes.
Mahomes is 29-3 versus the AFC West and 16 straight wins over the Broncos. They don't match up well, and this is one of the messier versions of the Broncos defense we've seen.
I think if you're Sean Payton, you're just like, how do I get out of here without being humiliated again?
Mm.
And it is the scary thing, I think, Greg, is we say things like, the Chiefs, as recently as 2 weeks ago, they're still funky. They are still second in total yards. They are first and third down percentage. Wow. They are sixth, tied for sixth in points per game. Like, and that's after a kind of slow start.
Yep.
I think there is going to be there could be a conversation, and we should move on. But when we're in Vegas for the Super Bowl, God willing, is this the best Chiefs team yet? That is going to be maybe the narrative around the AFC.
Well, they're going to have to show me more offensively. But
best defense.
Certainly the best defense. And, oh, by the way, they added Charles Omenihu, who's been a very productive player off of his suspension for domestic violence last week. And he had, you know, an immediate impact for their team. This run, by the way, the Broncos, the running offense, very good.
Yeah.
They did a nice job showcasing Judy and Sutton last week. They both had nice games. The offense is actually average. I don't know if that's good enough, but the offense is okay. So it's a showcase day. We're going to showcase Judy and Sutton for the trade deadline.
Please. Can we just, and I hated it when it happened in 07. I hated it in the moment it happened when a Raiders future Hall of Famer got traded and was all of a sudden playing with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And Randy Moss and Tom Brady made beautiful magic. Maybe it's time for the Raiders. Can you imagine if Devontae Adams was playing?
Well, why would they do that? They're not going to help out. They're not
whispered about that on this show.
But I'm just saying for fun. Think about them together.
That would be terrific. Mark Davis is not. I actually think he is spiteful enough. He would never allow that to happen. Thank you.
Is he, though? We don't know Mark like we knew Al.
I hang out.
I did meet Mark Davis at the Super Bowl.
You hung out with him in the bars a lot. Yeah.
Not 100 seconds.
The AFC West is not helping out the Chiefs as they clinch their 17th straight division.
You know what? Another thing, if you want to talk about traits of the Raiders historically, unpredictable.
You're right.
I'm just saying, I would
erratic.
Love.
Well, that
I would love. Actually, my favorite team's in the AFC, so I don't want to see this, but it would be fun as hell.
It's the.
They do need another wide receiver.
It's the juiciest landing spot for Devontae Adams by far.
Which is why we did not even bring it up in the You're the GM segment. Well done by all involved. All right, finally, Eagles at Commanders.
Your fifth game.
Oh yeah.
I am not looking forward to the post show rejiggering. This is confusing.
That's blame the AI bots.
Yeah.
They stuck it to us.
They did it. Yeah. Sam Howell is he's going to be the decider here whether this game is a blowout or not. If he's throwing the ball for grabs and he's running for his life, terrible job by the offensive line against the Giants. Then there's going to be some turnovers and then the Eagles are going to just start humming and this is going to be grim. But Greggy, are we still in the point where we're a little bit nervous about the Philly offense? We were just talking about KC.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, they're a little meat and potatoes. It's not a lot of variation. I think it was interesting that Vic Fangio was in that building and knows that team, you know. He made a very similar approach to what the Eagles did defensively, and he really played. They played in base defense that whole game, and they said, "We're going to stop your running game if at all possible, and we think we have a better chance of winning if Hurts is throwing the ball down the field." And they did get a couple of turnovers out of it, and that to me is telling. I just don't know if the Commanders are set up to possibly do it. They didn't do it when they played earlier this year, but neither did the Eagles defense. The worst performance by the Eagles defense all season was against these Commanders. They actually didn't really get after Sam Howell that well in that game. Sam Howell was kind of throwing the ball all over the field. It was a fun game. This matchup over the last few years, including the Commanders, you know, win over them last year, has been, you know, very close down to the wires. It's one of those division matchups. So I think 6.5 points, a little too much for Washington for the Eagles.
It might be.
Like it.
I mean, like Howell, they may not have gotten to him in the way that he's been gotten to in other games, but he was pressured 27 times by the Eagles, which is
27
tied for the most.
How many quarters did they play? Maybe,
right, maybe he was tied for the most in a game by any player in 2023,
holy
other than the fact Christ. That he was tied
what?
With himself
what?
Against
what?
In that terrible
what?
Buffalo
what?
Game for Howell. So
well, they didn't finish those plays, not enough.
They
I
didn't,
guess.
But I also think it's like all week after week, it's like is the offense round in a shape. I just look at the defense. They allowed
really
under 200
good.
Yards passing to the Dolphins, 45 on the ground. We talked about how they did that. Hurts, the giveaways have been the issue, but Hurts is playing awesome otherwise. Like, I'm not really, it's not like, oh, last year, maybe not exactly what we're going to consistently. Like, Hurts is doing incredible things. It's been a couple flurry of giveaways that have caused problems. The
he
Jets
hurt his
primarily.
Knee in that game, though, so that is something to watch. He's definitely playing this week. But just something to watch, whether he's as mobile, whether he can run the ball as much, because that would change their offense quite a bit.
And let's give him some love, because he deserves it. And Greg loves it. He he has major fantasy implications. Greg was like a schoolboy when we were in the theater room watching A.J. Brown do it again in primetime. This man has 701 yards since week three, receiving five consecutive games with at least 125 yards through the air. That ties him with Calvin Johnson and Mark, somebody that played when you were in elementary school, Pat Studstill, the 1966 Lions, were the longest streak.
I was not even on the earth, but continue.
With 125 plus receiving yards in NFL history. And like what I was saying with CeeDee Lamb, he is like his counterpart, rest in peace, the 2023 Phillies, Bryce Harper, like he's the showman. Like when they need a big play, they just... he's just a killer. He is a killer for this Philly offense and is definitely in the running for offensive player of the year.
Ooh.
I mean, how can he not be?
Yeah, no, you're
no,
right.
Of course. I would say like you just can't drop this if you're the Eagles. Your schedule is
they'll take care of it.
Well, they will. I agree. PCOB. This one's coming up though. Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, Niners, Cowboys, Seahawks.
6.5 we said. Yeah, that was the spread. Okay.
It's a dangerous one. I'm not like racking it up. It's an interesting one for Washington, too, though, just because, again, trade deadline. It's fairly on my radar. They need to push back the trade deadline 2 weeks. But Washington...
They're not going to, though. Like this not
whole,
yet, Greg.
There's this whole idea that Chase Young could get traded or maybe someone else from this team, and it makes sense, but it's like, is Ron Rivera making the decisions? Because Ron Rivera knows he's out at the end of this year, so who would be making him make any trades? Because if I'm Ron Rivera, I'm not trading a thing. What does a second-round pick next year do any good for me? But if they're 3-5, maybe there's pressure from above saying you got to make a move. I don't know.
Well, it's new ownership, so I don't know what the relationship is there in terms of telling Ron Rivera what he has to do. But Martin Mayhew doesn't strike me as like a super empowered general manager.
No, it's Rivera. It's Rivera making the calls.
Fire up your Philadelphia defenses in fantasy because they're getting after Sam Howell and they're going to be playing from behind Washington and he's going to start throwing it up for grabs and it could be Grizzly.
I love that for the Eagles.
Oh, all right, Greg.
That's a new one.
Another fan, another team on the list. All right, Eagles, Seahawks, Ravens on an island. Only one team can continue to exist.
It's really not about one team. It's about one man. So it's the Seahawks right now.
Why do you
Geno Trump's all?
So well, I just want it. It's been an amazing journey.
Why is it so personal though, the love?
It's not. It's been a fun journey and it's like
for you.
How fun can this get? Because this team is kind of frisky. Can he be in a big spot in a divisional round game? That would be fun. Like that let's push it further.
You want to see how far the Geno coaster goes.
I wish we had an AI service that could tell us like who's been mentioned the most over the last like 18 months, because it's gotta be Geno Smith number one.
Yeah.
And then the number two
would
be half
is
as many times.
Rodgers got a lot of play this summer. But he's been off the grid for the most part.
Has a thousand minutes, a thousand minutes logged on this podcast.
Jordan is up there. Jordan is up there.
Jordan comes.
All right, good stuff. Good stuff. We will be back Thursday night, Mark and I, with recap of Thursday night football, a matchup between Mark.
The Bills and the Bucks.
Thank you very much. And so make sure you check out that and our NFL Plus Dreamatorium content rolling out and everything else we've sent your way this week. We appreciate your patronage. Until next time, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more,
Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.